This portion of Your Talk Show is brought to you by Elder Advisors Law. For questions about estate planning, asset protection, and more, sign up for an educational workshop at elderadvisorslaw.com. It's always talk show time online. Podcasts of Your Talk Show are available following the show for you to share with friends or catch the segments you miss. Just go to WCLO.com to find the most current show archives from WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
And welcome back. This is the Friday edition of Your Talk Show. And, you know, we've had some of the topics this morning that have been a little heavier than what typically Friday is supposed to be. Friday is supposed to be fun and kind of a celebration of the fact that we made it through the week. And by golly, we got a weekend ahead of us, and there's a lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend in the area, not the least of which will be that fun day on Sunday out at Riverside Park. But I've got a couple of things I want to celebrate and I want to share with you because they're kind of special to me, and they kind of go hand in hand with the topic that we talked about with the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty. And that's the need for civic education, as it were. And I'm excited that this year, one of my volunteer organizations is getting ready to start their second year of a civic mentoring program called Learning Democracy Together. And it's something that we will be doing throughout the school year at Milton High School with a great group of high school seniors from their AP government group. And the purpose of the program is, frankly, to help prepare the next generation of leaders. And we want to do that by establishing some really meaningful relationships between those students and experienced community leaders. And rather than us trying to teach these students how to think, we want to teach these students how to go out and experience what we are, who we are, and why, and then apply it in real life in the hopes that they might get the bug and become the volunteer that Rob Beer was talking about being so difficult to find for civic organizations, the volunteer that's so difficult to find for running for public office, the volunteer that just simply wants to spend the time to give back in some fashion to their community. And that's the hope of what we're doing. The program that we put together is kind of an exciting program. It's a 4-credit class. It lasts for the entire school year. And it embraces principles you've probably heard me talking about, and if you've been reading my blog, hypothetically speaking, you'll see a lot of what I believe to be a really important concept that is worth teaching, and that's the program that I call deliberative democracy. And it really embraces the principles of deliberative democracy, and I think that that's something that all of us ought to seriously contemplate in our relationships. And it goes back to basics. I mean, you want to exercise intellectual humility. The fact that we need to respect each other, that we need to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. We need to reinvent that fine art of listening. Listening before you try and persuade. Having a conversation not to see who can be the winner of an argument, but rather to see who can be most persuasive of a particular concept. You can have disagreements, and you can be civil about them. And those are some of the basic things that we want to be teaching. Frankly, we want to help these students understand that being a citizen of this country, being a citizen of this community, there's a responsibility that goes hand in hand with that. You have a responsibility as a citizen to be an informed citizen, to be an active citizen, to be an involved citizen. And it helps if you know how to do that. And what we're doing with this program is we're matching up these students with mentors, people who are, I guess I would call them trusted advisors to the students. they're going to guide these students through the whole process of civic leadership. And we'll spend time dealing with ethical decision-making concepts. We're going to have opportunities for really modeling behaviors like respectful public discourse. Kind of goes hand in hand with the series that I've been doing in Hypothetically Speaking, where we have been exploring the whole concept of Robert's Rules of Order and how you conduct a public meeting in a civil fashion that's encouraging the idea that we all participate as opposed to it being a something dictatorial and negative. And we're also exploring in depth the open records law to deal with the issue of transparency and ultimately accountability. And all of those things are part of that civic education process that we're taking our young people through at Milton High School. What do we have the students do? Well, the students have a really challenging curriculum, to say the least. We're going to expect them to research some significant public policy issues, primarily local issues. Here's one that is just probably so critically important that I can't stress it enough. We're going to help people learn how to evaluate evidence critically, how to distinguish fact from advocacy, and how to sort out fact from fiction, and how to find truth, where to look, how often do you have to look, how deep do you have to look to actually find truth. And these are things that we aren't necessarily teaching in our schools in the regular classroom, but in our public policy seminar, we will be, and that to me is exciting. It's a journey that will take our young people through areas of local government, public finance, economic development, education. They'll learn what a local institution does. They'll learn how that local institution makes decisions, and we'll make sure that they have opportunities to practice and observe those things that go into good governance on a regular basis. And we're going to require them to do a capstone project, and that in and of itself is kind of an exciting thing. It's an opportunity for our students to do a practical paper that maybe we have a theme this year. How can informed citizens help our community make wiser decisions? And we're going to ask them to produce three products from that. But it's kind of a challenging question. How can informed citizens help our community make wiser decisions? We're kind of a mini version of the civics program that is sponsored on a statewide basis by the University of Wisconsin system, whereby they have a civics competition among high school students where they're asked to address a specific civics issue or question in a competitive mode. And I just, Tom was kind enough to pass an article off to me that said, I believe it was UW-Platteville was going to be hosting one of the regional contests. And the prize or the prize for those students who actually win it will be a scholarship to attend one of the UW Board of Regents institutions, which is great. We don't have prizes like that at the Rock County Civics Academy, but we have, I think, a better prize in as much as, in addition to being able to talk about the mechanics of government, we are hopefully going to be able to graduate students who really, truly have a sincere desire to become part of the solution as opposed to being part of the problem. So that, to me, is kind of fun and kind of challenging, and it's worth, I think, celebrating a little bit because you don't hear of programs like this very often. You don't hear of programs where you are trying to reinstitute the whole concept of civics education in a comprehensive way that's practical as opposed to theoretical. That gives you an opportunity for real practice as opposed to nibbling around the edges and playing at it. Stay tuned, because periodically as the year goes by, I'll bring you up to date with some of the progress that we're making with our with our public policy seminar at Milton High School. And hopefully along the way, we'll have an opportunity to bring in some of our students and introduce them to you and give you a chance to get to know them a little bit better. We'll also have our students on a program we do for public television called Newsmakers, and it'll be an opportunity to introduce them to you in a little different fashion. So stay tuned. We're excited. We're excited that we're being invited back and participating with community leaders and Milton High School seniors who have voluntarily enrolled in our public policy seminar. This is year two, and I'm excited about the fact that good things are going to come from it. The other thing that I wanted to talk about ever so briefly is we're putting on a community forum. In that forum, mark your calendars, it's on Thursday, October 15th, and it'll be from 5:30 to 7 p.m. The forum is intended to talk about one of the critical questions coming up on the November ballot that you're starting to hear a lot more about. There is a ballot referendum question that was initiated by a petition from the community to put the language on the ballot. And bottom line, I'm not going to quote the language. The gist of it is, should any development project in excess of $450 million that will be undertaken potentially at the former GM JATCO site require a vote of the community to proceed? Intriguing question, and there's a lot of consternation in the community, to say the least, about what that all means and how that is supposed to be somehow important. And don't let me downplay the fact that it is a very, very important question that the community needs to answer. The community generated the question by virtue of getting about 4,700 signatures from people who wanted this particular ballot question on the November ballot. And now we're dealing with it. Well, the forum that we're putting together is a little different than most forums. Our hope is that we'll be able to simulcast it live with public television, JATV Media Services, and we'll be streaming on some of the social media outlets. But the purpose is to have people on both sides of that issue, both proponents of approving the measure and proponents of voting down the measure, in a conversation, not a debate, but a conversation that is based upon some of those principles I talked about earlier that we're teaching in our Milton High School Civics Academy work, where we're not going to have a political gotcha session. We're not going to have I'm here to win this challenge, as opposed to I'm here to learn, to listen, and to persuade. We'll be doing it under the rules and procedures of, again, that deliberative democracy thing that I've talked about off and on. And basically the philosophy there is simple. Deliberative democracy holds that legitimate public decisions come not from persuasion tactics or point scoring, but they come from citizens and their representatives reasoning together, sharing facts, testing claims, acknowledging the fact that we don't have all the answers, and explaining the values behind the conclusions that they make. And to do that, there's some things that have to happen that are so different than what the norm seems to be anymore in these political conversations, where we have questions of some controversy and it becomes a confrontation as opposed to conversation. What makes this different is the participants have to agree in the front end that they're going to respect each other and they're going to respect the moderator. And we're all here as partners. It's the participants, the moderator, the audience. They're all there for a shared civic exercise. We're not opponents to be defeated. It's not like it's not an athletic competition. It's not me versus them. It's let's listen to each other, see if we can find common ground, and talk our way to a point where we can reasonably, if we disagree, disagree without being disagreeable. It's going to require people to talk with evidence-based arguments. And by golly, that's a rarity in and of itself. But anyway, that's the second thing I wanted to celebrate, and it's kind of an exciting thing. Mark your calendars. It's coming up on October 15th, and you'll be hearing a lot more about it as we get closer to it. It's at the Hedberg Public Library in the public meeting room, and seating's going to be limited, so I hope that you put it on your calendar and get there early. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll put a wrap on the day here on your talk show on WCLO.
I keep rolling, and I can't stop. Rolling and I can't stop. It's driving me out of my mind. Then the truck stops, and the plane hops, and the cold drop, and I'm so close. Cold drop, and I'm so close. Give me a little more time.
Spin me around, took my life down. Take me down slow, don't let me go. Spin me around, took my life down. Take me down slow.
Seniors, did you know that long-term health care could cost you your entire life savings? Without proper planning, all the assets you spent a lifetime building could be wiped out by nursing homes before you even realize it. Hi, I'm Attorney Douglas Lay from Elder Advisors Law. I get it, few people like to think about the high costs of aging. The truth is, paying for long-term care is the single biggest financial risk Americans face in retirement. At Elder Advisors Law, we specialize in helping you protect your assets. For more information, come to one of our free workshops in Janesville or Wales. Go to elderadvisorslaw.com and click on the workshop button. It's really easy to sign up. We will answer the most common questions about estate planning, asset protection, powers of attorney, Medicaid planning, and more, helping you sort out the facts from fiction. At Elder Advisors Law, we help families and protect generations.
E&D Waterworks, in business now for 75 years, and some people still don't know everything we do. Water softeners, iron filters, reverse osmosis drinking water systems, electric water heaters, gas water heaters, power vent, tankless heaters. Plus, we'll deliver your water softener salt, your bottled water, and service it all. More info at edwaterworks.com or call 608-752-4718. E&D Waterworks. If water runs to it or through it, we do it.
Enjoy the cool comfort of new flooring at Hot Savings during the summer sizzle sale at Carpet Mart in Janesville. Save big on all in-stock luxury vinyl plank and carpet. Do cash and carry or have Carpet Mart's expert installers get the job done. Get to Carpet Mart now for the best selection before it's gone. The summer sizzle sale is going on now.
Carpet Mart, Milton Avenue, Janesville. Locally owned and operated for over 50 years. Quality flooring backed by service you can stand on.
Why do you listen to WCLO?
I think it makes you more aware of your community.
Oh, news, but I think just to be aware of what's going on.
Local news matters to me.
It's more locally oriented, which I like.
Well, how do you make a decision unless you're informed?
News about how we're solving the problems that face us as Americans today.
Up to date, up to the minute, and kind of get the late-breaking stories right away.
When you need to know.
You know, I think everyone should listen
to WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
And welcome back. Here we go. It's a fun-filled, frivolous Friday. That's a lot of Fs. And it's been kind of a fun morning in as much as we've covered some tough topics, covered some good topics, and got a chance to explain some things that I've wanted to get off my chest for quite a while. And I even chuckle sometimes at the texts that do come in because, by golly, you start to realize that there is a real need for civic education and and the principles of deliberative democracy to be shared on a much broader scale than what we were able to do.
Yeah, just so for what it's worth, we'll tell people. Somebody texted in, one of our crankier texters, we get a lot of cranky texters, called us Nazis. And I tried to get an explanation because I could not figure out what we were talking about that made us become Nazis in this person's mind. There was a fantastic 20-part special on World War II that is narrated and hosted by Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage this texter to go watch, I think it's the third episode when they talk about Hitler's plan to annihilate the entire Jewish population on Earth. That's what Nazis did.
Yeah, I
it's one of those words, Rich, that people toss around now with very little context of what it actually means.
Well, it's...
And look, we're big boys. We get it, right?
But no, absolutely.
When somebody starts texting and that kind of stuff, here's what happens. They get blocked.
Well, and the reality is that just like with all things in life, if we want to be part of a civil society, we have to recognize the fact we've got responsibilities to maintain a civil tone. And it's very, very possible to disagree and not be disagreeable. And frankly, name-calling is a silly way of trying to establish a point. All it establishes is the fact that you're not of the intellectual depth necessary to perhaps raise an intelligent argument. Instead, it's easier to call you a twit or something. I don't know. But, you know, people are people, and that's the way of life. And one of the things that we're all about in our approach to our civic responsibility and our approach to community and volunteerism is that if you can't contribute something positive, then you ought to stay on the sidelines. And the best way to contribute something positively is to get informed, understand what the need is, what you're doing, and in this case, for this texter, understand definitions. Get informed, then get involved. But understand before you get in that it's incumbent upon you. We have all lots of rights as citizens, and free speech is one of those rights that we're guaranteed. But there's a responsibility that goes hand in hand with every one of the rights that we have. And quite honestly, if you want to exercise free speech, exercise it responsibly and in a civil tone, because you're going to gain nothing by exercising it in any other fashion. But maybe all of us could use a little bit of that that philosophy of take a deep breath before we speak, and take a deeper breath before you send off a text. Because life's too short to be angry all the time, by golly. It's way too short. Anyway, it's about at that point in time where we got to say, hey, it's Friday, it's been fun, it's been enlightening, it's been informative, and hope that you have a fabulous weekend. The weather is supposed to cooperate, and all things considered, take some time out to do something nice for somebody. Make it a special point to reach out and say thank you to somebody. We've kind of lost that whole process of common courtesy, and maybe it's time to renew it. So do something good. This is WCLO, Janesville Beloit.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. Don't walk
helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Let's shine your light for everyone to see.